Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the Rivian R2 details leak, 800-volt Cybertruck charging, and the Model 3 Ludicrous gets an update. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you what BYD are doing to beat combustion cars in the price wars. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, it's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Thursday, 7th of March. I'm Martin Lee. And I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We go live at 5 p.m. UK. That's midday Eastern. But Patreon supporters get these shows as soon as they're ready, and they get them ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. All right, let's kick off with an update on one of yesterday's stories, and that is Tesla's German Gigafactory hit by arson, now closed until March 17th. It's been claimed by the Volcano Group. They claim responsibility for the arson attack on Tesla's German factory in Grünheide, causing the facility to lose electricity and potentially nearly $1 billion. I had to read that one twice. $1 billion in damages and a potential closure until St. Patrick's Day. The attack impacted over 60,000 residents in total. Yesterday, I told you 2,000 as the news cycle went on yesterday. So more and more reports of the general impact of this electricity failure in the Brandenburg area, parts of even Berlin, due to the destruction of the high voltage power mast. Well, the German publication Der Spiegel had a live stream yesterday on YouTube, about 20 minutes long, with some spokespeople from the factory and the local area talking about what happened. And André Tirig, the plant's senior director, said that estimated time of resumption would be March 17th. Estimated economic loss would be up to $1 billion. That's certainly hundreds of millions of euros, though. With a daily production shortfall of 1,000 Model Ys, emergency power solutions are ineffective in this case because of the disconnection between the power, the high voltage lines that crisscross a country, the power mast, and the local substations. That results in the shutdown of the plant's ventilation systems, and therefore all staff had to be evacuated. And a Reuters report earlier today pointed out that repair efforts for the damaged infrastructure will extend over several days, according to local grid operators. EDIS, or EDIS, an E.ON subsidiary responsible for the electrical grid, is attempting some sort of temporary solution to restore power to Tesla and those residents affected, though no specific timeline for the resolution was provided. Now, a note from Baird Equity Research predicting a substantial decrease in Tesla's Q1 deliveries because of the arson attack. I'll put links to all those in the show notes. Now let's talk Rivian. Ahead of the official unveiling of the R2 models, details of the crossover have surfaced, suggesting an entry price of $47,500 before shipping. The leaked information, sort of leaked, no, it was a leak, wasn't it, was obtained by a Twitter user who was looking at Rivian's website source code and shared it online. His name is Chris Hilbert. Well, he's not a hacker or anything. He didn't log into their servers. He was simply doing the whole kind of right-click view source code or web inspector thing just to have a look at if any references in the website to Rivian, which they hadn't made live. Well, somebody had created a folder and, yes, written all of the code for the specs. Now, of course, this is a single source, and so this is somebody who seems legit on Twitter. He seems like a huge Rivian fan. He's attending the R2 unveil today. He doesn't seem like he has anything to gain about lying about this, but as always, you know, health warning, single source and all that. This could all be wrong. He says starting price, the code said starting price 47.5, range up to 330 miles, although in, you know, normally the cheapest version of a vehicle doesn't go the farthest. 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. And again, the cheapest one normally doesn't go the quickest, but you never know. It seats 5, not 7. Ground clearance almost 10 inches. 15.5-inch wheelbase. Approach angle 25 inches. Departure angle 27 degrees. Sorry, approach angle 25 degrees. Departure angle 27 degrees. Well, its dimensions are expected to closely match those of the Tesla Model Y. In fact, it's almost the same as a Tesla Model Y. Mileage-wise, it's a little bit more. I think the Model Y peaks at 310 on the EPA. This is 330. This crossover, if you like, the reveal is 1 p.m. Eastern today. If you're watching this and listening to this on the day we put it out, which is 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. UK, we go live at 5 p.m. UK, so 1 hour after we publish, typical. Anyway, full details of the Rivian R2 on tomorrow's podcast, and we'll see how much of that was accurate. Now, the press are allowed 1 hour with the vehicle today, I gather. I have some friends that are going. It's going to be a scrum, though, so I don't expect any detailed or even one-on-one driving impressions from the YouTube community just yet. Next up, we'll talk Audi Q6 e-tron launching as an alternative to the Porsche Macan EV. Audi setting the reveal date for the new Q6 e-tron. All electric model, of course. You can tell that because the way that Audi are doing it in the future, they're even numbers, the Q4, Q6, Q8. They are the electric cars, and the odd ones, the 5, the 7s, etc., are going to be the combustion cars, because let's face it, driving a combustion car is odd. So that's what they've done. That's what they said. They said that the March 18th reveal date will tell us more about the PPE platform, premium platform electric. That's what this is built on, with a 100 kilowatt hour battery, 270 kilowatt DC fast charging. That's an 80% charge in less than 30 minutes for the big old battery. And it's their version of what is the Porsche Macan. We've seen lots of this car already, a lot of it in camo, some of it with just the front and the rear, with a little bit of camouflage on. But we can tell the interior was already showcased at last year's Munich Motor Show, featuring an 11.9-inch digital instrument cluster and a 14.5-inch infotainment system with Android Automotive on the operating system. And it looks great inside. It's just the whole front is basically three big screens. You've got a nice driver display, a big display in the middle, angled towards the driver, and then if you want it, that optional passenger 10.9-inch front passenger display with shutter technology, they say, to avoid distracting the driver, with a 22-speaker Bang & Olufsen sound system. This is certainly quite a highly spec'd electric vehicle. Now, an innovative interaction light bar inside around the upper dashboard display shows the charging status and your turn signals. As for the specs, technically, well, we know that it's going to be a dual motor system, all-wheel drive, 375 horsepower, WLTP range of 373 miles, 600 kilometers. A high-performance SQ6 is obviously going to be coming. We think that's going to be up to 500 horsepower at 0 to 60 miles an hour, done in 4.5 seconds or so, probably with some sort of temporary boost function in there as well. But we'll find out all the details very, very shortly. The 2025 model year Q6 e-tron is going on sale in the North American market in the latter half of this year. Starting price is going to be in sort of the 60s, isn't it? $60,000 and something, offering maybe a more cost-effective, but just a good alternative to the Porsche Macan EV, just like the Audi e-tron GT has been a great alternative to the Porsche Taycan. Macan starts at $80,000 and something, though, so maybe this will be a more affordable version of that vehicle, or just Audi's version of that. I'm sure Audi is sick of people saying that, you know, it's coming after the Porsche, if you like it happened with the Taycan. But either way, totally separate cars based on the same platform. Both teams start from the same place and then go in their own directions, and we can't wait to find out more about the Q6 e-tron. Now let's talk about something particularly spicy, and that is the Lotus Emeya. Emeya, you say potato. It's the Hyper GT, available in the UK and EU, with pricing now announced and now available to order in the European Union as well. Charging of this will do 10 to 80% in just 18 minutes, they say, if you're using a 350 kilowatt DC fast charger with a maximum range of 379 miles and 610 kilometers. But arguably, it's not the charging specs which catch the eye on this. It is the looks of this thing. This, not even a GT car, it's a Hyper GT, they call it. It looks absolutely stunning. I'll get onto the pricing in a minute. It features advanced active aero with an active air dam and rear spoiler, enhancing stability but reducing drag when you need both those things. The Emeya offers 905 horsepower, 0 to 62 miles an hour in 2.8 seconds. It's one of the world's fastest vehicles, but as Lotus always say, it's not about 0 to 60 or 0 to 62 miles an hour, 0 to 100 kph. It's really about like the 0 to 100 miles an hour, or it's that sort of 30 to 100 acceleration. It's the brutality of these vehicles, which does more than simply that one trick pony 0 to 60 thing. It has a cutting edge 15-inch HD OLED infotainment display, which is powered by the Unreal Engine technology, enabling real-time interactive responses and adjustments. Now let's talk about the three models which you can get. The Emeya starts at just £95,000, that's 106,000 euros. It'll go up to the Emeya S, which is £107,000, 127,000 euros, and the Emeya R, the premium flagship model. If you have £130,000 lying around, that's 151,000 euros. Oh, I'll have a couple, please. Officially launched in China on January 18th, with UK and European deliveries expected in Q3. Want to see more of this vehicle? It's stunning. I'll put up a link in the show notes. Now let's talk Cybertruck and an 800-volt breakthrough with charging this vehicle, which is the first time we've seen it done. A company used to be called known as Atlas. By the look of it, they've rebranded as NXU1. They put out a press release. Well, it's on their investor website, which always kind of tells me it's interesting. It's interesting way of thinking about it. I suppose they're promoting their company, aren't they? And they want to get publicity and all those kind of things. They became what they say is the first third-party charging system to leverage Cybertruck's 800-volt architecture. And they achieved a charging rate of 327 kilowatts, which is crazy fast. Not the fastest out there, but it does surpass any previous maximum rates. I've seen my friend Carl Connor from OutSpec, who I do the Friday afternoon, well, Friday morning, depends on where you're watching. The Batteries Included podcast, which I've done for the last 3 years under different names and stuff, but I do that on Fridays with him and Tom and Dom. He managed to get the Cybertruck to charge at 253 kilowatts at a Tesla supercharger, but this is wholly different. This is an 800-volt architecture truck, and it was an 800-volt charger. Now, they tried it with a sort of high-voltage chargers using an adapter, but it didn't work, and so this was a native J3400 connector, formerly known as NACS, formerly known as the Tesla connector. They charged it. So this charger was designed for this purpose, really, of doing this record on the Cybertruck. I think Tesla gave them some help as well, from what I can read about this. And it's no longer constrained by the 400-volt systems out there, the chargers. So 250 kilowatts is a V3 limit. Well, this charged the Cybertruck's 800-volt battery, which is normally split into two lots of 400. So that's the way Tesla do it. It's kind of done by other companies as well. But in order to work as best it can on 400-volt technology, they split the pack effectively in half, and therefore you can charge it as quickly as possible. Tesla's head of vehicle engineering confirmed that the V4 superchargers, when they roll out, that the Cybertruck could reach peak charging speeds of 350 kilowatts, which is great, but this is 327, so this is some way off the peak that Tesla have told us it would do. Worth bearing in mind as well, there are V4s out there, version 4 superchargers, but they are the V4 dispensers, effectively the guts that make them run, want of a better phrase, is currently all of the existing technology. So it's not all purely V4 stuff that's out there at the moment. Now, there is a charge curve that's been put online by the company. It's weird. I'll get to it. Third-party companies using Tesla's J3400 connector. It's not Tesla's. It's everyone's now. It's a standard, the J3400 connector. They're all now free to develop chargers that capitalize on 800-volt technology. Whilst the news was welcomed by Cybertruck fans, some of them breathlessly on social media saying that this was a huge win, perhaps take a breath to look at the charge curve supplied. This is an odd one, by the way. The company NXU have put this online because it's not a typical charge curve. They have plotted the power and the current on the same axes, but not labeled it, which is weird. If you're watching the YouTube version of this, the brown line is the power, the blue line is the current, and so we can see 327, and it peaks there and it's flat on the charge curve, and then it drops down dramatically and very quickly. And also, the state of charge is the black line, but that goes over the key information at the top right, but also it's not how you would typically display state of charge. They haven't plotted it on the x-axis as most other charge curves would be. Look, either way, this is a bit weird, but either way, they've done it for a reason, I suppose. And I guess it looks like 800 volts helps up to about 10 or 15%, maybe a little bit higher, possibly. Look, 800-volt architectures, if you're new to this podcast, or maybe you're learning about EVs, or maybe you're an expert, more of an expert than I am, then 800-volt architectures are not a panacea for EV charging. They're not, you know, twice as good as 400-volt architectures. In fact, Tesla vehicles typically run in the 300s or low 300s voltage, depending on state of charge. And so it's not about higher voltage being better. There are benefits such as cabling and thermal efficiencies. I won't go into that now. But the limitation on the Cybertruck clearly is the truck, or should I say, the 4680 cells here, because we've seen the 4680 Model Ys charge badly. I mean, I'll be kind, but they are. And these Tesla developed cells are just not up to the job yet. And I think they will improve them. And I'll tell you why in a moment. as is Tesla's MO, really, a short burst of very high peak power that gets the headlines, but then it drops down so quickly. It's effectively a V3 charger after a few minutes. And so this 800 volt charging, when it's, you know, rolled out, when it's on V4s from Tesla, when it's on third parties using J3400, it could save you perhaps 1 or 2 minutes, but it's not night and day. And I'll tell you why I think Tesla will make this better, because they always do. Tesla's way of working is they put things into the market which, no offense, aren't ready. I have a friend in Austria, and it was wintertime, I think, when he took delivery of one of the first LFP Model 3s out of China, when they first put that lithium iron phosphate pack into the Model 3. And he sent me the pictures of him trying to charge when he first got his vehicle, and it wouldn't. It was sort of 3, 4, 5 kilowatts for hours at a time. And look, Tesla very quickly got a handle on the BMS and fixed it. Now, he was patient. He works in the battery industry, so he knew what was going on. But if that had been a normal customer, he'd have been calling up Tesla and saying, this car isn't charging. I mean, admittedly, it was like, you know, minus 10 degrees Celsius, it's cold soaked overnight, all that kind of stuff. But Tesla got their head around the BMS, they got their head around LFP charging, and now it's great. It works really well. And so I think Tesla will improve the Cybertruck. I think they will make it better. I don't think this is as big a deal as the internet made out today, but it's pretty interesting to see, and we look forward to more testing of the Cybertruck. All right, let's talk Tesla Model 3 Ludicrous. A new report coming out today saying Tesla engineers from the Fremont factory recently visited China to address and resolve remaining issues with the Model 3 Ludicrous, hinting at final preparations for launch. Well, this car has been under tests in California for a long time now. We've seen those cars on the road sporting unique disguises and those kind of capes and those sort of strap-on camouflage things on the front and the rear to mask the identity, but we know it's coming. We think it's going to be called Ludicrous almost certainly, and key improvements for the not performance Ludicrous include the integration of a new dual motor system aimed at enhanced performance, making it even more spicy than the outgoing performance version, and perhaps that it could well exceed. Now, the 0 to 60 time of the outgoing performance is 3.1 seconds, and we think that the Ludicrous will probably try and beat that just for honors and stuff like that. This is, as far as I can tell, a single source news story coming out of a Tesla blog. And so, hey, treat with caution. The rollout of the Model 3 Ludicrous scheduled for May. This report says, could be a rumor, could be nothing, could be something. I'm just letting you know, with a coordinated introduction for a global launch across the US, Europe, and Chinese markets. But I'll pop a link to that story. It's generally a pretty good website, this one that reported it, not a Tesla app, and they do some great reporting, so that's why I'm passing it on. It's not something I think looks particularly dodgy. It all kind of lines up as well, but hey, you make your own mind up. By the way, if you'd like to get this podcast ad-free, I mean, presumably if you're watching the YouTube version, you are signed up to the audio version, and do you like podcasts? You've got podcast app on your device, well, you open it up, search EV News Daily, hit add, hit subscribe. It's free after all. We all like free stuff. And if you'd like the ad-free version, well, that's where our Patreon legends come in. Our Patreon legends are paying $5, $10, sometimes $50 or more dollars a month, depending on whether it's an individual organization, to get the ad-free feed. And you can do the same as well. Check out patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Mercedes-Benz are next in the news today, and they're going to reintroduce the V-Class to the American market in 2026, and that'll be part of the fully electric variant, they say. A new report today on Ward's Auto pointing out the upcoming electric V-Class will be on Mercedes Van EA, or VAN.EA platform, as I mentioned yesterday on this podcast, indicating a commitment to electric mobility in the van segment in the US. Development is currently underway in Stuttgart in Germany, where the company's commercial vehicles division is based, and they will replace the EQV with this, which does come to the US. Now, it was on sale before in the US, not the electric version, but wasn't wildly popular, so I think that's probably why it was discontinued. The EQV, the electric iteration of the second-gen V-Class, has been around since 2019. We get it, the US doesn't. We'll see its name retired in favor of being called the traditional V-Class naming for the 2026 model. And that's very interesting, because we've seen Mercedes just kind of tweak their styling. They're going to bring back the big silver grille and the Mercedes emblem, rather than just kind of a light up thing, moving just away from hardcore efficiency, that teardrop shape, to be a bit more conventional. I think maybe just some customer feedback, or just decisions made and naming as well. So little bit of less of the EQ stuff going on in the future, and more V-Class electric manufacturing of this is going to be, even the US vehicles will be made at the Mercedes-Benz facility in Vitoria in Spain. Link in the show notes for more information. Now, a new report coming out of carnewschina.com today says the Mercedes-Benz and BMW have joined forces to launch a supercharging network in China. Their plan includes constructing over 1,000 supercharging stations by the end of next year in 2026, with a broader goal of 7,000 stations across the nation. Now, the initial phase of the project will see charging stations operational in major cities in China starting this year, eventually extending to smaller towns and regions. Last year, BMW's pure EV sales in China were 40,000 units, so they do okay there. BMW supercharging stations, the initiative here kicked off in August last year, introducing high-power charging solutions and capacities. The BMW chargers in China got to 600 kilowatts. Now, some of the DC fast charging in China is properly crazy, and BMW have got some 600 kilowatt chargers out there. To date, 54 charging stations have been deployed by BMW across 17 key cities, accessible to EVs from all manufacturers. But this new project looks like it's a collaboration between BMW and Mercedes-Benz, as even German giants, fierce rivals in some parts of the world, are looking at the Chinese domestic makers and actually, in some cases, getting a bit of a kicking from those and thinking, let's join forces and try and fight them back a little bit. Let's stay in China, actually, where this report coming in from Chinese state media that I found talks about a new EV charging and battery swapping zone. But I say about the charge speeds in China. Some of these charges are 500-600 kilowatts. China has now inaugurated its first what they call intelligent zone. Not sure what that means, but I'll try and work it out. Dedicated to EV charging and battery swapping in the Jiangsu province. The facility boasts approximately 1,300 charging stations. Yeah, you heard that correctly. 1,300 charging stations in one location. I can't even imagine what that would look like. And it aims to cater for 500,000 new energy vehicles. That's just, I presume that's per year. That must be per year, I'm guessing. Just 1,300 chargers in one place, just of all of different types and speeds and varieties, just does kind of blow my mind. However, that's the popularity of EVs in China. There's also a rapid battery swapping feature where batteries can be swapped in just 80 seconds to use, they say, smart algorithms which direct drivers to the most efficient charging options, optimizing time and cost by suggesting the ideal charging times and the ideal charging locations. And what I couldn't quite work out from the way that this article was written is whether this is just, you know, a car park with 1,300 chargers in, or whether it's kind of a zone of an area where they're putting, you know, DC fast chargers here and, you know, 50 or 22 kilowatt AC charging is calling it fast charging. But either way, this is expected to slash the average monthly wait times, they say, of EV drivers in the area by nearly half. The intelligent side of it, I'm guessing they're going to try and say, well, you know, you're at a low state of charge, you want a DC fast charge, go to this location or this set of chargers. I wonder how it'll work, but either way, it reflects China's growing adoption of EVs. Having a look at this year's going to be a record year for EV sales in China, despite the headlines telling you that EVs aren't popular anymore. Certainly they are in many parts of the world. Pull back in the US a little bit, but outside of that, around the world, just going great guns. Having a look at the installed car park in China, that's 20.4 million EVs by the end of last year. So there's more now. 20.4 million EVs on the road in China. So yeah, they need some help charging those, particularly around Chinese New Year and stuff. There's always queues at those chargers or battery swapping stations. I'll pop a link in the show notes. All right, a couple more stories. We'll stay with China, and BYD has introduced the new Seagull Honor Edition as their compact electric vehicle, offering at a starting price of 69,800 yuan. That is, and it's very hard to do the comparison with taxes and things like that, and it wouldn't be like this because of imports, but it's effectively $9,700. It reduces the price by 4,000 yuan from its predecessor. The vehicle is it's a cute little thing, and it would do so many people for their mobility needs. It's available in three versions: the Vitality version, which is $9,700, the Free, which is $10,500, and the Flying, which is $12,000 or 85,800 yuan. This thing, again, for many people would do the job. It's a compact car, no doubt about it. It features some great specs, though. On all trim levels, Bluetooth, NFC, keyless entry, 4G connectivity, fully integrated nav system. In terms of the specs, yeah, I mean, they're just absolutely good enough. 55 kilowatt electric motor, two battery capacities, 30, or which is 305 kilometers CLTC, so it'd be less than that in real world, but 30 kilowatt hours or 38.8 kilowatt hours for over 400 kilometers of range. Again, CLTC, so it's not real world. But either way, look, this is incredible. You go for the top trim, $12,000 equivalent, 40 kilowatt hour battery. That does, unless you're road tripping, then that does all of your mobility needs. This thing looks modern inside, a nice mix of screens, nice screening behind the wheel for the driver, very kind of Mustang Mach-E, and then a big Tesla screen in the middle, if you will. The interior looks modern, sharp, some physical buttons in there as well, some wireless charging pads for your mobile phone. Steering wheel looks nice. This is not going to, you know, break the mold, but also it's not going to break the bank either, is it? Let's face it. Safety and convenience features include airbags all around, parking sensors, rear view camera, cruise control. It adds adaptive cruise, emergency braking, lane departure in this thing. The specs are really good. Oh, traffic sign recognition as well in these Chinese cars. No wonder the US is utterly terrified of BYD building their Mexican factory and BYD saying, no, we're not going to sell cars in the US out of our Mexican base. No. No need to worry about us. Not at all. And no wonder the European Union and the European Commission have got their investigation into tariffs or unfair advantages of the Chinese companies and whether they should be penalized when they come into Europe. Because these vehicles, of course, they're cheap in China for a reason. But even if they were twice the price of that, you'd be like, this is a great budget car for everything that I need. And so no wonder people are really worried about these Chinese cars. And look at that BYD. That's just amazing value. Here in the UK, it was our recent spring budget announcement, and it didn't meet the car industry's expectations. They were asking for a 50% VAT reduction on EVs. It overlooked extending the plug-in van grant, which is expiring next year, and it caused concern for fleet operators as well. There's a 5p per litre discount on petrol and diesel, fuel duty, in other words. That was continued, which obviously does good things for the combustion industry. And the budget was meant to focus or at least address this crazy issue that we've got here where the VAT, value added tax, VAT, is charged at 5% on our home electricity, but 20% if you go and charge your car in public. And that is just simply unfair to people who can't charge their car at home. It's one of the main reasons we moved house years ago, is because we didn't have a driveway. We parked that car on the street. We wanted EVs. It could very well have been done, but life is just easier with a home charger. But that's not fair if you live in an apartment and, you know, your apartment block owners or committee haven't got EV charging policies in your designated parking space, or even if you can't charge because, you know, lots of housing here is kind of old, you know, old housing, terraced housing, especially in big cities, and you park on the street, sometimes far away from your house. And so if you are public charging, it's crazy that you are penalized so much with a 20% tax when you pay 5% at home on electricity. And that was all ignored by the budget here, unfortunately, yesterday. You know, this government that we've got, I think like many governments around the world, and I'm not sure whether the next, because we're getting a Labour government next, because this lot are being kicked out when we finally get an election. Will they be any better? I mean, I guess you have to give them a chance. You know, you can probably tell my thoughts on most politicians. I guess you got to give them a go. But still, we just need to incentivise. Just make it fair for EV drivers. And finally, Stuttgart Airport has introduced an all-electric truck to their fleet. But this is not an EV like I've ever seen before. This is an all-electric refueling truck. Oh, the irony. This is a clean, green electric vehicle being used to gas up polluting planes. But there we go. Part of their project with Sky Tanking to feature a 40,000-litre electrically operated refueling system powered by the vehicle's traction batteries provided by Daimler Truck, the electric series production model, as it stands on Stuttgart Airport's inaugural platform there to decarbonise the airport, which again is amusing because you know, the aviation industry is some of the worst in terms of polluting, but there we go. So at least one of the tankers has gone electric. I guess that is a good thing. Certainly enhances the working environment for the working personnel around it. All joking aside, it's one less diesel vehicle spewing fumes into the girls and guys that refuel these planes. The design allows both the vehicle and the refueling pump to operate from a single charge of the battery, which takes about 1 hour overnight, and then it can work for 23 hours a day. And that is your podcast for today. Well, if the podcast, as ever, provides any value to you, saves you time hunting around various different EV websites every single day and brings you what you need to know in 20 minutes so that you are up to speed, then I would invite you to have a look at the Patreon page. It's how I pay my bills. Actually, it's my entire work these days, and that blows my mind that it's funded by individuals and organisations, businesses out there who value what we do here. I say we, I do here at EV News Daily. That's Patreon, patreon.com/EV News Daily. Get the podcast first and ad free in your feed. And as always, thanks to our premium partners, a daily mention for Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel. Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. And Lease Plan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.